Like to call the 1,364th meeting of the Board of Directors to order. Before you is the agenda. Let me first start with the, are there any objections to the agenda? We'll begin then with a public comment. Do we have any public comments? I saw a sheet before me. The person is, and I'm sorry, this is not very clear. Najee, is it Mujadi? Mujadi. Mr. Mujadi, please come forward.
Good afternoon. My name is Najee Mujadi, and I represent a collective, a coalition that has recently formed in Washington, D.C., and it was spurred because of the incident that occurred last month involving Mr. Dwight Harris, who was the unfortunate man in a wheelchair who was accosted by the Metro Transit Police Department. And we were very concerned about that, but we saw that as emblematic of an increasingly militant police department or Metro Transit Police Department. So we were seeking means to which some sort of accountability could be found for the officers involved, but furthermore, addressing the issue of the increased militancy of the police department on the whole. We attended the town hall meeting that was convened by the Transit Local 689 on Monday and raised our concerns there, and we appreciated the understanding that we received, and we were surprised to learn that many of the transit workers, particularly the bus drivers, had their own complaints about the transit police, such as being underserved and in some cases assaulted. We would like to believe that the power and trust that the board places in the MTPD, considering that, that you would be intolerant of police abuse, and furthermore, we think that you should consider where to draw the line between sponsoring a police force and a paramilitary one. In this regard, we have several questions. Number one, has WMATA taken a position on the Dwight Harris incident? If so, what is it? Has WMATA received previous complaints from union members or patrons about excessive force used by the MCPD? And furthermore, what is your protocol in dealing with such complaints? And has an officer ever been fired for misconduct related to excessive force? Number three, is the increased militancy of the police department, the Metro Transit Police Department, encouraged? If so, what is the rationale behind this? Number four, would the board consider allowing the D.C. Office of Police Complaints or some other independent civilian-run entity to have investigative authority over the transit police? Number five, would WMATA be willing to conduct a survey among its patrons to further ascertain the degree to which the concerns raised by the coalition are shared by others? And finally, would the board in whole or in part be interested in meeting with the coalition formally regarding these concerns and further discuss strategies of mutual consent to mitigate them? Sorry for going over.
You did quite well. Thank you very much. Thank you for your comments, and I would simply ask that we ask staff to look over Mr. Majidi's comments, and if there are a response that we can provide you. Thank you very much for coming forward and sharing your concerns. Okay, with that, we do have on the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion? Is there a second? Thank you. There's one item to be added to the agenda, and that item is the Cinderbed Road item, and it should be added to the consent agenda. Any questions? Motion made. All those in favor?
Aye.
And those opposed? Thank you, Mr. Moore. Okay, the next item is the approval of the minutes for May 26th.
So moved.
So Mr. Downey moves. Mr. Nichols second. Any questions? Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the minutes of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you very much. The next item is the report of the Writers Advisory Council, Mr. DiBarnardo.
Good afternoon, Chair Hodge and members of the board. It's my pleasure to present the Writers Advisory Council report for June 2011. At the council's June meeting at the beginning of the month, Metro staff discussed proposed revisions to the authority's station naming policy, including affirming an adherence to existing station name principles and the length of station names, as well as clearly defining the station renaming process. Several council members had concerns that there was not sufficient time provided for outreach to communities about name changes around the stations. Because of the strong link between Metro and the communities it serves, as well as the unique role that transit plays in shaping communities, members felt that there needed to be robust outreach to neighborhoods prior to changing any station names. In addition, the council expressed its concerns about the problem of repetition in proposed names for stations on the Dulles Corridor extension. We outlined those concerns in a letter which you've already received. Members of the Writers' Council and the Accessibility Advisory Council took a field trip in June, and we visited the soft mock-up for the 7000 series rail car at the New Carrollton Rail Yard. We also discussed the design of the new car with Metro staff and consultants, and members of the council had many comments about the layout, the materials proposed for car interiors, and the ability of the new cars to support better customer information features. We hope the feedback provided to staff was helpful, and we appreciated the opportunity to weigh in on this important issue. Finally, the council provided you with comments on the draft board bylaws and procedures earlier this month. We greatly appreciated the incorporation of many of the Writers Council's comments into the most recent versions of the bylaws and procedures. We believe that including language more clearly outlining the RAC's roles and responsibilities will allow for the council to better fulfill its duties of advising you, the board, and recommending solutions to both board and Metro staff. As always, thank you for your time and attention, and I'd be glad to answer any questions if you have.
Thank you very much, Mr. DiBernardo, for your testimony. And we did receive your letters. Thank you very much. I'd like to just take just a few moments as we began to move through this agenda. It has several very important items, and first I'd start with the approval of the budget. Subject to approval this afternoon, we'll have approval of our operating and our capital budget for FY 12. This budget approval is a commitment to continuing the level of services and to increase the investment in safety and the state of good repair of the Metro system. The budget reflects the decisions reached by the board from listening to our customers, working collaboratively with our funders, and acknowledging the need to build a budget that will sustain the role of Metro in the region. The budget approval is one of the most important responsibilities that the board has, and it represents the value we placed upon our role as a board in serving this authority. The budget is a major milestone in our board work, and today, in addition to the budget approval, the board will provide increased authority to the CEO, allowing the board more time to focus on policy. I want to thank the General Manager, Richard Searles, and his staff in facilitating our FY12 budget process. Our next steps for this board will be the adoption of revised bylaws, procedures, and code of conduct. And the board has begun this planning for the short and long-term future of its role in the authority. The number of meetings that we have had been daunting, but I want to thank the board members for their commitment of time and awesome level of engagement in the work that we must do. It has allowed us to build strong working relationships and to identify how collectively we best can serve Metro and the region. I think our experiences that we all had yesterday, that were in attendance at the memorial service for the July 22nd tragic event that we had, is an indication of actually the commitment that we really make, because as we graphically experience the responsibilities that we have, is an indication of how engaged we must be involved with this process. So I thank you for that, and it does give us a refreshing memory of where we must carry on our work. I want to thank the board members for their participation, and as you know that there's a lot more to be done, but your participation thus far has really reflected the confidence that I have in working with you, and I appreciate that support. With that, I want to really thank all of you for the work, and I think exceptionally with the work that the staff has done and committed itself to our board. With that, I would move to the report of the general manager and the CEO.
Good afternoon, Chair Hutchins and board members. Today we are seeking the board's approval of our FY 2012 operating and six-year capital budget. The board's action will enable Metro to continue providing the current level of core services for customers without a fare increase, while continuing our aggressive capital program to rebuild our infrastructure and equipment to improve safety, reliability, and customer service. Also noteworthy is that we are forecasting a favorable finish to this fiscal year, and careful budget management has put us in a position to repay to the capital program all of the extra preventive maintenance money transferred in the previous year, which is in keeping with both board policy and the preference of our own customers who voiced their opinion in our online survey about this topic. This $30 million repayment allows us to increase funding for escalator reconstruction by $2 million and accelerate by 1 year the purchase of 51 new 30-foot buses at a cost of $28 million. Fully funding the capital program is a strong signal from this board and from the jurisdictions about our commitment to restoring the state of the repair of our transit system and is an extraordinary step forward as a matter of financial responsibility and good transportation policy. Last week, we launched our Metro Forward customer information campaign designed to explain the importance of our capital rebuilding program and the tangible benefits that customers will realize from the multitude of projects that we have underway throughout the entire Metro system. Last week, we unveiled our new social media tools, and in the coming weeks, you'll start to see posters in the stations and on the buses and trains, as we have done with other campaigns. Ultimately, the campaign also will help us communicate about what to expect from our accelerated construction calendar, which we briefed you on 2 weeks ago and plan to announce next month. As we discussed, we want to better inform and also provide our customers and the regional communities with advanced notification when temporary changes in the service are expected. Let me add that this week we announced that there will be no track work at all on Monday, July 4th. In fact, we're adding service to help people get to and from the fireworks, for which we expect about a half a million rail passenger trips. On the holiday Monday, we'll operate a near rush hour schedule on Metrorail from 6 p.m. till midnight. Yesterday, we gathered at Fort Totten to commemorate the second anniversary of the June 2009 accident. I was heartened to see so many of the family members participate this year in our wreath-laying ceremony and provide us another opportunity to pay our respects to the memories of those who were lost or whose lives were forever changed by that tragic accident, as well as to recommit ourselves to a legacy of safety and efforts to change our safety culture at Metro, which is a work that must continue to be our daily focus. With respect to our safety commitment, I recently had an opportunity to appear before Metro's congressional delegation for a safety roundtable, chaired by Senator Mikulski. Chief Safety Officer Jim Daugherty and I report on Metro's safety progress over the last year and discuss the work and challenges ahead, as we discussed this morning in committee. In addition to our unwavering focus on safety, the other topic that requires our constant vigilance is security. To that end, I will testify tomorrow before the House Subcommittee on Healthcare, District of Columbia, Census, and National Archives. I'll update the committee on Metro's Homeland Security preparedness, including the fact that Metro has a thorough, up-to-date threat assessment that guides resource allocation and personnel deployment. Metro Transit Police now collaborate with more than 40 federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies to enhance security in the region and coordinate anti-terrorism efforts, including the FBI and TSA, with whom we have active and positive partnerships. Metro uses highly visible policing techniques to deter threats to the system, including Metro PD's anti-terrorism team, a group of sworn officers made possible through federal transit security grant funding, as well as collaborative efforts such as Blue Tide and Operation RailSafe, which both partner with other agencies to increase the show of force. Metro has responded to 339 calls for service in the first half of 2011 involving a suspicious person, package, bomb threat, or similar condition. Metro has thousands of closed-circuit cameras on its system, and thanks to a federal grant from the Department of Homeland Security, we're advancing a project to install cameras at the entrances of 86 Metro Rail stations. Metro has implemented multiple high-tech security measures to improve security, including a chemical detection system that alerts incident commanders to the chemical's identity and provides estimates of the above and below ground spread of the chemical to protect public safety. I will also report to the committee that since FY 2006, Metro has received commitments of $108.6 million in transit security funds, for which we have obligated 100% for specific projects and expended nearly $24 million to date. I plan to detail for the committee certain challenges we have encountered with the Department of Homeland Security grant award process that impacts our ability to expend the funds in a more timely way. While we can and must continue to improve our level of preparedness, I will report that we have substantially improved our emergency preparedness by taking a layered and strategic approach to protecting our customers, employees, and assets with a combination of technology, training, and target hardening. While we're on the subject of emergency preparedness, I want to personally present our first employee spotlight today, because she recently exemplified the kind of calm and focus we all strive to achieve during a crisis. Salethea Cole was operating a red line train on Monday, June 13th at around 7:45 a.m. when she was called on the intercom by passengers alerting her that a woman on the train had declared that she had a bomb and was threatening to kill everyone. Ms. Cole asked the passengers to please remain calm and then immediately notified Metro Central Control, who then contacted Metro's transit police. While talking to Central Control, Ms. Cole observed passengers self-evacuating and began explaining to the passengers why walking on the tracks is dangerous, pleading with them to return to the train. When this did not work, she asked them to stop and stand against the fence and give her a few minutes to investigate. During this time, Central Control had cut rail power. She walked through the eight-car train asking passengers to please remain calm and explained the incident as she went. Ms. Cole helped some of the customers back onto the train, then calmly led the passengers through the train and onto the Rockville platform via the last car that was still at the platform. Throughout this entire ordeal, Ms. Cole's calm demeanor enabled her to follow every procedure and help our passengers. She told us that she felt well-trained and prepared to handle this ordeal. Even with that training, her level of calm and her extraordinary efforts to ensure the safety of our customers were remarkable under the circumstances. Ms. Cole, we salute you, and would you please join us up here? Turn it over to Dave Kubitschek to introduce our additional employee spotlight.
Good afternoon. While Ms. Cole exemplified excellent judgment and professionalism in this situation, she is not alone in her class of excellence. Train operators, Mr. Charlie Richardson and Ms. Danielle Glass, were shining examples of Metro's high level of technical skill and knowledge, along with car maintenance mechanics, Jacob Scout, Ronald Lamar, and Adrian Tace. These five employees made up the winning team of the American Public Transportation International Rail Rodeo's prestigious Rail Transit Team Achievement Award, basically overall champions. The Rail Transit Team Achievement Award is given to the system with the highest rail operator and maintenance team combined score. Metro's operator team came in second place overall. The competition required measurement of professional skills, including train operation, knowledge of safety regulations, train equipment, and track right-of-way rules and procedures. The maintenance mechanics placed third overall. They were judged on their ability to troubleshoot maintenance problems and work on technical skill events. Metro Rail's rail rodeo team competed on June 11th against 12 other public transportation systems from across North America for this honor. APTA International Rail Rodeo Competition is designed to encourage excellence and professionalism in rail transit operations. Within their own right, these employees are all models of excellence as they showcase their professionalism and top-notch skills. I'd also like to footnote that this is the first time that this agency has won the overall competition in the history of WMATA, so we really do have a special group here before us today. I would like now to thank the 2011 International Rail Rodeo winners and to please join me, the general manager, and our board chair in the center of the boardroom to be presented with a certificate and to pose for a few photos.
Thank you very much. Now that you've started, maybe this is a return next year and thereafter. Thanks so much. The next item on the agenda is the report of the Finance and Administration Committee. The following actions were referred to the board by committee at the June 9th meeting. And we have, let me go through what the items are, and then we'll have some amendments to the resolution. First of all, this is the approval of the operating capital budget, which the 2012 operating budget and capital improvements do with a total of $2.5 million and the six-year capital budget of $5.6 million. At the budget committee meeting, we had an operating budget of $1.482, and that included all the revenue, expenses, and subsidy. And I guess we note that that was a full-funded subsidy from the jurisdictions after the adjustments from staff and other savings. The FY capital budget is the 1.03 and the six-year capital budget 5.6. The resolution that's in the package incorporates the items for approval, and I would at this time ask if there are amendments to the resolution.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Downs.
I have a proposed amendment to the capital improvement program.
Is there a second? And seconded by Mr. Wells. And I will take them individually. Any questions?
Madam Chair, on this one?
Let me add them individually. I think that way we can have any discussion on them individually. Are any questions?
Madam
Hearing
Chair.
None?
I'm sorry, I do have a question on
this. On
this
one, I'm sorry.
There are other jurisdictions with dollars left in Metro Matters residual. What happens to those is going to be discussed and resolved later. It's only the district that's being disposed of today.
That's correct. We would just take direction from the jurisdictions on that matter.
Great, thank you.
Okay, you've got a good question. Okay, hearing no others, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right, that item is going forward, so let us take the next item.
Madam Chair, I would move that we amend the resolution to add the following resolved clause, that the general manager and executive chief, chief executive officer are directed to work with Fairfax County to develop a plan for additional bus service to Fort Belvoir in response to BRAC-related workforce relocations and developments, to consist of a new route between Franconia Springfield Metro Rail Station and Fort Belvoir, an extension of REX service to support second shift commuters to Belvoir and the Richmond Highway Corridor, and further to report back to the board at the July Finance and Administration Committee meeting on July 7th.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Acosta. Are there questions or discussion? And I let me make sure that the board is clear on that one. This is a BRAC action that will allow services to be examined. The cost will be incorporated once the staff has gone back to look at it, and it is allows the service to begin, but the cost to be identified and transferred to WMATA. And the other is the opportunity to examine and bring a service on for the BRAC later time. Okay. Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the last, any additional amendments?
I have one additional one, which I understand staff is okay with. It is an amendment to the first new resolved in our draft motion on, or draft resolution on page number 3. Arlington had proposed increasing service on the 22A. This is, we would like it to be effective August 8th, which I understand from staff is they are amenable to. This is, too, is a BRAC-related change, and having it start in August would be more beneficial than September.
Okay. Is there, I guess we need a motion on that.
So I would move that in that resolve clause, following Metro Route 7M, we add and additional service on 22A, which shall be effective on August 8th.
Okay. So second. Second. I'll second.
Thank you.
Mr. Nichols will second.
Thank you.
Okay. One, your one. Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Madam Chair, I'm sorry. I apologize, but I just want to make a note that the numbers, subsidy calculations that are attached to the resolution were calculated assuming that that would be in service on September 25th. We would just have to recalculate that to assume the new date of August 8th. I do not, I just want to make that statement. It'll be a minor change in the numbers, but we would do that.
And I would remind everyone at this point, I believe this is fully funded by Arlington.
Yes,
so it's a change to Arlington.
So the amendment that we're adding is still will still be zero balanced in our budget as a result of it.
Right. Arlington.
Arlington is paying.
Will change, yeah.
Right. Okay. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. And I think we have last one that in the resolution there's a minor change. Yeah. Mr. Daly?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a fairly lengthy amendment. If I could.
You can move it, the blue sheet.
Lengthy amendment, if I could summarize it. This would be the steps needed to implement the good news that General Manager CEO just brought us, that the $30 million that had been set aside from the capital program in 2011, somewhat reluctantly by many of us, was not needed in order to balance the 2011 budget and can be restored to the capital program. So the resolution identifies the sources of the $30 million, the surplus we run in 2011, insurance recoveries and property sales, and identifies what the uses will be now that these funds have been restored to the capital program. The bus purchase that had been expected to be done in 2013 can be done in 2012. There's also a small adjustment with respect to proceeds of the Arlington bus garage that were not needed. So this has freed up significant money in 2012 to accelerate buses and will have a ripple effect in 2013 when we will not have to buy those buses and can make other amendments to the 2013 budget. This, I think, is extraordinary good news at the end of a good year, and I would move the amendment as submitted.
Is there a second?
Second
by Mr. Downs. Discussion. I'm surprised there's no discussion, but let me start it here and say that then let's, on the table now is the primary motion. All those in favor, is there all those in favor of the motion now?
Aye.
All those opposed.
I should have stated it's also bus purchase and escalator rehabilitation, which would also be provided for in the change.
Okay. With that, I think I heard no opposition. That gives us an approved FY12 budget. And I think Mr. Daly's comment starts the flavor of what we want to convey here is that we've approved an operational budget that I think gave us a very good reflection of the things that we heard from our customers, as well as the commitments that I think from the jurisdictions. And I think we owe that kind of conversation a great amount of recognition, because it really is a different kind of budget that we are trying to approve at this time. And the capital commitment is really a long-term commitment that we are able to make with the savings that we've found, as well as the contributions that have been made. So with that, I think we have a good news story that we want to tell at this time. Any other comments? Yes, Mr. Downs.
I know that it's impossible to think about, but I would encourage the general manager and the staff to bring to the board in September the beginnings of the process for the 13 budget. It's a difficult year, we all acknowledge that, and that laying out for the board timeframes, issues, and a initial discussion of the capacities that we will need for the 13 budget would help us all.
I think the good news there is that Carol's saying we'll be ready in July to start that discussion.
Mr. Costa.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to thank a few people here. First of all, Mr. Sarles and his team for coming up with a very good budget process this year. I think compared to last year, it's been night and day in terms of how the budget process has worked. So I give staff a lot of credit for not only identifying internal savings as part of this, but also putting forth a very straightforward budget that we can react to. Second, I'd like to thank the jurisdictions for their support, and when the call is made that we need more subsidies to fund the system, I think our elected officials who serve on the board, as well as our appointed members who work with the respective councils and commissions and governors, came through. And I think it reflects that this region believes in transit and that this is an important priority. In light of the financial constraints that all local governments face. So I think that's an important recognition because, in fact, it's tough out there in terms of the jurisdictional finances, but I also believe that this shows that every jurisdiction believes in the system and will do what it takes to make sure that it happens and that we have a well-funded system. So I thank all of you.
Thank you. Madam Chair, yes, if I might. You know, we started out with a $72 million gap that we were trying to fill, and actually $150 million because management filled the first half, and we had some more savings along the way. I'm very proud of the fact that we have not gone to the riders this year, and I'm also very proud of the fact that of that initial $72 million, about 46 of it was due to one-time things that had happened before. And I think that the fact that all of the jurisdictions stepped up and got their subsidy levels to what's was necessary. So we don't have any one-time fixes that we're going to have to recover from next year is actually really, really important moving forward. And as Marcel has said and others have said, you know, this region cannot survive without this transit system. And we all have a role to play in that. Management, this board and our jurisdictions and the riders, and it's only when we're all pulling together that we get to a system that works for all of us. So I'm very proud to be part of this vote today.
I do want to make one comment, and thank you for the invitation to do that. It's a, and I really want to speak to you and your leadership, and I don't mean it gratuitously. I think that there is a fresh leadership of the organization from the general manager, the team that leads our organization to, and a lot of hard work up and down the organization, staff members such as we recognize today who perform valiantly every day under a lot of stress and criticism, and a lot of learning that's going on and reshaping, building new culture, building a new vision, expanding a vision, and with a lot of new people involved, new board members. And I particularly want to thank Kathy for her leadership in steering our board in a direction that gets us to the same place at the same time. And I want to thank you for that, because there's a lot of learning going on here, and Richard and all of the team. And again, that includes the members of the staff that we don't see every day. We only rarely see them. And I want to thank you for that, because I'm learning a lot. But we all want to contribute to the success, and that means leadership, and we want to be a leadership body that you can believe in, that will hold the organization accountable, but also support the success of the organization. And it goes both ways. So I value that contribution that we make and the contribution that you make, and I think we're on a good path to where we want to be. It's a long path, but we're on that path, and I want to thank you for your contributions, and yours, Kathy, and all of my board colleagues. Thank you.
I think that brings us to a vote, and I appreciate everyone's participation in this process, and is most, I think, contributes so much in terms of what this budget says to the larger community. And that's the value that we place. And we will see that as all of us go home today or wherever, because we are delivering a service that's critical to people, and that's really the important part of what we do. With that, all those in favor?
Aye.
Did we do it already?
We did.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We just reaffirmed it.
We reaffirmed it. How much we really like what we do. Okay, we have another item that is part of finance that I think also has a level of importance for us today, and that is the approval of the procurement and contracting policies and procedures. And this is an important item, again, in terms of the leadership of what we are doing on this board, and it is granting the authorization to make policy changes to the procurement policy contained in Chapter 1 of the Procurement Procedures Manual, and the reprogramming policy in order to streamline the approval authority process for the contracts actions and the reprogramming actions. With that, I would ask that we move forward the resolution to revise the and incorporate the reporting requirements and the criteria for the general manager and CEO for a reprogramming and operating budget.
So is there?
Okay, Ms. Hines and Ms. Dowdy, any discussion? Any questions regarding this? Hearing none, Ms. Hines?
Madam Chair, I would just note that as we move into delegation of authority, it's important to recall that the board's job is to set the direction and then to provide the oversight, and this resolution, I think, puts us in good stead in both those categories. Particularly, want to thank staff for the addition of the criteria that appears on page 3, so that it's clear under what you know, what the rationale must be for reprogramming within the operating budget. Something I understand we have to date rarely done, yet I still think it's important to be clear about under what circumstances the manager would, in fact, be able to do that. So I thank staff for adding that to the resolution.
Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you very much. The next item is the report of the Joint Development and Real Estate Committee. Mr. Wells.
Yes, Madam Chair, the staff sought board approval of a revised policy for direct connections to metro stations and property. The committee modified the staff's proposal earlier today regarding crediting of funds expended on review of government-sponsored connection projects by metro staff, replacing the maximum credit of $50,000 for such review costs with the latitude to negotiate such costs on a case-by-case basis. I move the proposal.
Second.
Moved and seconded by Ms. Hines. We do have the blue sheet that and everybody has looked at. This was a very recent change, so it's part of the action there. Hearing no discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes. I'm sorry, Ms.
I was just going to say, I assume you moved it and voted on it with the, as the, under number three, government entities may construct, not constrict, right? That's what you meant.
Where is that change?
There's a typo on the blue sheet under number three. It's at under number three. The word is not clear, and I'm just verifying that you intended for that word to be construct.
It's in the report, not in the resolution.
Is that what the?
Yes.
Right. That's correct.
The last item is our consent agenda. And you note that it is amended consent agenda. Are there any questions or to be pulled from this consent agenda? Hearing none, is there a motion for removal to approve the consent agenda?
I'll move.
Mr. Nichols, is there a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Costa. Questions on the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. Last item here is the report of the jurisdictions. Mr. Downs.
The district has nothing to report.
Madam Costa. The Washington Suburban Transit Commission.
Nothing to report.
Mr. Nichols, thank you. And North Virginia Transportation Commission, there are no reports. Mr. Down?
No report.
That's a unanimous no report. Thank you very much. Are there any other items to come before the board? Hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, I would note we'll stay here for the Governance Committee meeting. They're bringing the packets, yep.
Okay. All righty.